Gilmore's family had been unfortunate. "Is Gawain here?" asked Aglovale. "Where are Mordred and Agravaine?" He glanced about him as if he might actually find them in the hall. Above his head, the coloured beam of light fell upon a small and primitive piece of tapestry, a picture of some knights in chainmail, with nose guards on their painted helmets, chasing a boar. Arthur said, "Aglovale, they are here. My happiness is in your hands." "I see." "Are you going to kill them?" "I came to kill Gawain first. It seems queer, after looking for the Holy Grail." "Aglovale, you have every right to try for revenge against the Orkneys, and I will not stop you if you do try. But I want you to know what you're doing. Your father killed their father, and your brother slept with their mother. No, don't explain about it. Let me remind you of the facts. Then the Orkneys killed your father and brother. Now you are going to kill some of the Orkneys, and Gawain's sons will kill your sons, and so we shall go on. That is the law of the North. But Aglovale, I am trying to make a new law in Britain, by which people don't have to go on shedding young blood forever. Have you thought that it may be uphill work for me? There is a saying that two wrongs don't make a right, and I'm fond of this saying. Don't apply it to yourself, apply it to me. I could have punished the Orkneys for murdering your brother. I could have cut their heads off. Would you have liked me to do that?"
"Yes."
"Perhaps I ought to have." Arthur looked at his hands, as he often did when he was in trouble. Then he said, "It is a pity you never had the opportunity of seeing the Orkneys at home. They didn't have a happy family life like yours." Aglovale said, "Do you think my family life is very happy now? Do you know that my mother died a few months ago? Father used to call her Piggy." "Aglovale, I am sorry. We had not heard." "People used to laugh at my father, King. I know he was not a formidable character, but he must have made a fairly good husband, mustn't he, for my mother to die of loneliness because he'd gone? Mother was not an introspective person, King, but she faded away after the Orkneys had killed Father and Lamorack. Now she is in the same grave." "You must do what you think right, Aglovale. I know you are a true Pelennor, and will do that. I won't ask any favours for myself, but will you let me mention three things? The first is that your father was the first knight I ever fell in love with, yet I didn't punish Gawain. The second is that all the Orkneys adored their mother. She made them love her too much, but she only loved herself. And the third thing, oh, Aglovale, listen to this one, is that a king can only work with his best tools." "I'm afraid I don't follow the third point." "Do you think," asked Arthur, "that feuds are good things? Are they making for happiness in your two families?"
"Not exactly."
"If I want to stop the feud law, do you think it would be any good my appealing to Gawain and to people like him?"
"I see.
What good would it have done if I had executed all the Orkney family? We should only have had three knights less to work with, and their lives have been unhappy, Aglovale. So you see, my hope is with you."
"I must think it over."
"Do. Don't decide anything quickly. Don't consider me. Just do what you think right, because you are a Pelennor. And then I know all will turn out for the best. Now, tell me about your Grail adventures, and forget about the Orkneys for one evening." Aglovale heaved a sigh and said, "So far as I am concerned, there have not been any Grail adventures. But it has cost me a sister, perhaps a brother as well."
"Is your sister dead?"
"My poor boy. I thought she was safe in a convent."
"They have found her dead, in a sort of boat. dead in a boat? Yes, a magic boat. She had a long letter in her hands, all about the Grail quest and about my brother Percy.
Are we hurting you by asking questions?
No. I like to talk about it. I still have Dornar left, and it seems that Percy has been distinguishing himself.
What has Sir Percival been doing?
Perhaps I had better tell you what the letter said from the start. As you know, began Sir Aglovale, Percy was the one in our family who took after Daddy most. He was gentle and humble and a bit vague. He was shy, too. When he met Bor in this magic boat of theirs, he was abashed of him, it says in the letter. He was a maiden knight, like Galahad, you see. I used often to think, when I saw them together, that he and Daddy made a good pair. They were both fond of animals, for one thing, and they knew how to get on with them. There was Daddy's questing beast, and now Percy seems to have been befriending lions, mainly, since he went away. Also, Percy was benevolent and simple. One day, when they were trying to pull a blessed sword out of a scabbard, I mean the three of them in the holy boat, Percy was given the first pull. He did not succeed, of course. All that sort of thing was reserved for Galahad. But when he had failed, he just looked round proudly and said, "By my faith, now I have failed." However, I'm getting ahead of my story. It says in the letter that the first adventure Percy had after leaving Vagon was to ride off with Sir Lancelot until they met Sir Galahad. They jousted with him, and Galahad gave them both a fall. Then Percy left Lancelot and went to a hermitage, where he was confessed. The hermit advised him to follow Galahad to Guther or Carbonek, and never to fight him. As a matter of fact, Percy had been seized by a sort of enthusiastic hero worship for Galahad, so the advice suited him. He rode on to Carbonek, where he heard the abbey clock smite as he was pricking through the forest, and it was there that he came across King Evelake, who was about 400 years old. I'd better leave out about Evelake, for I don't quite understand it. I think the old man couldn't die until the Holy Grail had been found, or something like that, but King Pelles is mixed up with it too, and all that part of the letter is a bit difficult to follow.